don't really know quite what to do. But beautiful story of just that power. So Derek, would you share?
I was speaking here last week, and after the meeting got invited to go down to Canberra for the YWAM's 50th anniversary. That's Youth with a Mission for you, those that don't know about it. While we were there, we heard Lauren Cunningham speak, which is really amazing to hear his story and all the things that have happened. But one story, and as I was standing there this morning, God just reminded me to share it with you this morning. It's about a base that they've got in Nigeria, in the southern part of Nigeria. And Nigeria has seen incredible turmoil for lots of reasons. There's oil there, but there's a whole lot of social unrest. And a whole group of young people that have been in university were so disillusioned with what's going on that they became militants, got into running guns and anarchy and really taking on the government. And they formed this compound down in the southern part of Nigeria. And the YWAM base was close to where they were, and they had a real heart to try and change what was going on. And they didn't know what to do, so they started to pray. And they'd been praying for several months, and then God spoke to them to go into that camp and to actually serve the militants, just to go in and clean the toilets and do whatever needed to be done just to actually help those people. And after a period of time, I don't remember how long it was, some of the YWAM guys might be here this morning, but after a period of time, 300 of those militants came and said to the YWAMers, "We want to give you our arms. We don't trust the government, we don't trust anybody else, but we trust you guys because you've shown you have no agenda." So they gave them 300 AK rifles and explosives and all this sort of stuff. And the funny thing was, they had to take these, they didn't know what to do with them, and so they put them in all the little YWAM trucks going along these bumpy roads and took them to the army. And the army didn't know what to do with them, and then they went to the government and they said, "Look, we've had these 300 people that have kind of surrendered to us. Will you give them amnesty?" And they said, "Well, we don't know what to do with them. Will you look after them? We'll give them amnesty if you rehabilitate them." And then as a result of that, over a period of time, 3,000 of the militants have now surrendered to YWAM. So that's the kingdom of God.
The kingdom advances. But it is about reconciliation. It is about restoration. It's about hope. Kim, are you? I think David's looking. She's probably upstairs somewhere. She's not in. couple of quick things before I jump into where we're going to go this morning. The last Sunday this month, the 31st, there is a morning tea that's going to happen following the service for all of our volunteers that we are grateful. I mean, we are so grateful for so many people that just serve in so many ways. And so there's just a morning tea to really just say thank you. And that's also including folk that were involved in the, you know, the Christmas lights and all the good things that happen through that. But then on the last Sunday of each month, we're going to have, you know, the cafe open. We're not going to do that weekly at this point in time because we're heading into Easter and trying to map out what it looks like to go to two morning services at that time. And you'll hear more on that and how we're going to have to adjust our lives. But the kingdom's advancing. That's a great thing. And the only way we can make space with parking and seats at this time is to subdivide. So it's not going to be a super easy thing to do or comfortable thing, but we're also going to have to rally more people to be involved. But again, it's an opportunity to serve and see God's kingdom advance. So that's all coming. Good Life Women kicking off. Everything is going back into full gear. First week of February. Special guest speaker is Caitlin Turner from the Hope Foundation. So keep your eyes out for that and keep your ears out. And then just so you're aware also, there's an intentional mission focus throughout the month of February here. And you know, the way we've conducted missions through YWAM and missions through Good Life for some time, it's been good, but most people would not be aware of who's out there, how we support them, and how to really be involved in that. And so February, we're taking a really specific, intentional approach to that. Jason Litzo, where, Jason, are you here this morning? I thought I saw you. Yeah. Jace is back here. He's going to be speaking. I'm really looking forward to that, and I hope you are too. Jason's one of our mission partners who serves in Indonesia, and God's just really given him a passion. So anyway, a lot of stuff coming up. Sports kicking off again, futsal, netball, touch footy, if you, flag footy, whatever. If you're interested in getting information, ask questions. This morning, I'm not going to take a super long time, but there's something really on my heart to share. Actually, two other things I just about skipped. I've talked enough. Shane, why don't you come and fill the guys in on what's happening tomorrow night?
Good morning. Tomorrow night, Monday night, the youth group are going to be going ice skating down at Caloundra. So all youth age are allowed. You're allowed to bring your friends. We're going to have a great time. We're going to depart from here at 5 o'clock. So if you need a ride, you're welcome to come and jump in the van or the bus and head down with us. And we'll be back here at 8:30. If your parents can come and be here to pick you up at that time, we welcome you guys to come along and join us. Thanks. Cost $15. Includes a drink and 2 hours skating with ice skates.
There you go. And the other type of skating, which is skateboarding, next Saturday evening will be our inaugural old school skate afternoon here at Good Life. Helmets are required. But we've just sort of, we're just going to do a twilight skate. We're going to block off the parking lot. This hill is just so good to skate. And so often we're skating that we have to dodge cars coming in and out. So we're actually blocking it off. We're opening it up to fellas from the community. So all of you old school skaters, even some of you new generation that are riding longboards, we've got folk coming in from the community. We're going to stick some music on. We're going to put a barbecue on. If you're new to skating, come. If you want to watch old people spill on the hill, come. It's just going to be a good opportunity to open it up. So often we're saying, no, don't, you know, go away, just keep clear. But I really enjoy skating this hill, so let's open it up. We're going to do that next Saturday evening, about 5 o'clock until dark, so sort of twilight onwards. And dads, bring your kids. If you've got kids that skate, bring them. However you want to do it. But we're going to get on the hill. Also, welcome back everyone who's back from holidays and finding their way back in. Steve and Ruth and Bailey and Elijah have been traveling for months. Welcome back. So good to see you guys here. And I just love Bailey's hair. I haven't seen Elijah's yet, but did a good job. All right. Last couple of weeks, we've been talking vision. We've talked about the kingdom of God, the advancing of the kingdom of God, not just within the confines of the church, but in this world and in this earth, and living out the gospel. And I so appreciate Derek's heart and the message that he shared last week. I believe God's purpose is this, that the world would know him. It's so simple to me. God's heart is that people would know him, and we are his representatives. the way we live represents the gospel. When we declare ourselves to be Christians, followers of Jesus. And I love the gracious heart of God. I love it. And I love sharing it. And I love more than just talking about it. I love the opportunity to live it. I don't always do a good job. Sometimes I mess it up horribly. But deep within me, I long to live the gracious heart of God and the redemptive heart of Christ to the community that we live in. I want to take you first thing to John chapter 3 and verse 16. You probably all know this verse very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. I go through that verse and as I have thought about it, I break it down, and there are so many words that come to mind. God. The Bible declares him as the ever-existent, all-powerful creator. Creator of heaven and earth, creator of humankind. God. God so loved. And I just stop there and I think, God so, so loved. It wasn't enough to just say, oh, God loved the world. This added dimension, God so loved. It's deep. And he so loved the world. It's vast. It is far-reaching. It is wide. There's no boundary. There's no national line. There's no cultural line. There's no language line. God so loved the world, all humanity, that he gave. It's benevolent. But not is it just benevolent, it's expressive. It had to have action attached to it. God's love that was so vast was not just an emotion. It wasn't just a feeling that God yearned over humanity. It was a word that had to have action attached to it. It had to be expressed and not just stored up. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. His deep, vast, benevolent, expressive love was also self-sacrificial. God, who had no need of anything or anyone, laid down life for everyone. It's incomprehensible. You can't put your mind around it, nor make sense of it, nor reason it through. But God, who needed nothing, gave everything. That whosoever, It is unconditional. It's for whoever will believe. And God's desire in it is that none would perish, that it would be redemptive, that it would be reconciliatory, that it would be restorational, man, humanity to God. And it would be liberating. That we would enter into life as God always purposed it to be. Eternally. Eternal life. You know, sometimes that, you know, gets a little, you know, cyclical and troubling to me. I just have to be honest. If I sit there and think about eternity, it fries me a little bit. You mean it just goes on and on and on and on and on and I can't make sense of that. In fact, there are times I think about it and it seems a little mundane. But here's what I've come to with that. I don't know what life was like the way God designed it to be, unbroken in perfection. And you know, in my humanity, there are days that I have that at the end of it, as the sun begins to set, I go, man, I just wish this day would never end. You ever had a day like that? Where you wake up and everything that you love and enjoy just seems to fall into place. And it's just a day that, you know, if you're a surfer, you wake up and the air's still and you go to the beach with this sense of it's going to be a good day. And as you come over the rise and you just see the sun glinting off these perfect waves that are just peeling left, because that's the way most waves should go. And it's a goofy footer. You look at it and go, this is brilliant. And you get out there and you just find that no one else has found that wave that morning and it's just you. And your arms are getting tired and you wish you didn't get tired. And you have to get out because you're hungry and you wish you didn't get hungry. But there's this spot in you that's just going, man, I just wish that this went on and on and on. And then I think, well, you know, if me and my brokenness have days that I think, I just wish this could last forever, I think in God's heart, where He has purposed things that we cannot even comprehend, such beauty, such perfection, I bet you there's going to be something that rises that goes, I wish this day would never end. And God just gets a smirk on His face and goes, don't worry, it won't. We don't get what it will be like. But God's love is so deep and so all-encompassing, so vast, so benevolent, so expressive, so sacrificial, so unconditional, that it is perfectly redemptive and perfectly liberating and perfectly fulfilling. And it is not just for us. It is for a world. And we are the instruments of that message. And if our hearts aren't full of that message, I would encourage you to go back and meditate on John 3:16 until it moves our hearts again. What is our part in this? Our part is to see it and to be about it, to see it and do it. To see the kingdom and express the kingdom. To see the kingdom, to live the kingdom. to see the kingdom heart of God, the message of God, and live it every single day. Do it. See it. Do it. I'm going to talk this message over 2 weeks. Next week, there are three themes that I will cover, and I'll introduce them to you now. And I was talking with Jason, and often when we think about missions and, you know, exploits for God, we think about them on the far side of the sea. And we think of, you know, Jason and others as, you know, missionaries or mission partners who are out there. And as we chatted, we were just expressing this idea that, you know what, it's not just Jason who is different because he's a missionary. All that is different is the location. Jason's location of calling is Indonesia. The question we have to respond to is, where's ours? Where's ours? Because we are all called exactly the same way. And this is the movement that is born out of understanding that kingdom heart of God for all humanity. Not just those on the other side of the sea. It's those on the other side of the fence. It's those on the other side of the desk. It's those on the other side of the counter. It's those on the other side of the till. It's those who we engage in life with. And I'm going to talk next week about moments and seasons and lifetimes of mission and purpose. But I knew I wouldn't fit it all into this week, so I've already split that up. And I hope you'll hear both parts of it. I just want to go over the page, if you're still at John chapter 3, to John chapter 4. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in verse 34 of chapter 4, says, "My food," or "my nourishment, my strengthening, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 more months and then the harvest? I tell you what, open your eyes now. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. This passage that really just talks about God's desire to draw humanity to him, to see the harvest of people come to the knowledge of him, is in the context of a Samaritan woman sitting at a well drawing water, or coming to a well to draw water where Jesus is sitting, and they end up in this conversation. And if you read a little more of that story, the disciples are surprised to see Jesus sitting with a woman who isn't culturally acceptable, who isn't positionally acceptable, who isn't racially acceptable, who isn't religiously acceptable. And they come and they find Jesus, and it stirs this question, and Jesus says to them, "Would you open your eyes?" And he's really saying, it's not just here, this is all around us all of the time. And Jesus is saying, you know how to read the physical signs of this world, but you miss the entire purpose for this world. Jesus says to open our eyes. In Luke chapter 17, And Jesus was asked when the kingdom of God would come. And Jesus says this, the kingdom of God doesn't come with careful observation. Nor will people say, oh, here it is, or oh, there it is. He says, the kingdom of God is within you. Or the other translation of that, the kingdom of God is now, it's in your midst. It's not about an event that we can just go, whoa, it's happening over there. Come on, we all need to get over there and be a part of it. Or we don't need to have these great declarations and get everyone to come and camp on what we are doing here. It's not about saying, oh, the kingdom's moving at Good Life. We need everyone to come to Good Life. It's not about here it is or there it is. It's about the kingdom is in our midst. It's wherever we are about the kingdom work, there the kingdom is at work. And there the heart of God is communicated and it's lived out and it's seen. And the kingdom of God is not just a matter of talk. The kingdom of God is about action. And it's not just about the future. It is about the now, and that's part of what Derek talked about last week. It's not about what will come then. It's about what is being done now. And it's not just sitting, waiting for the kingdom to arrive that I can get out of here. It's about bringing that kingdom sense to this earth and declaring it. Do people see it? If the kingdom of God is in our midst, if the kingdom of Christ is within you, do people sense it? Do people hear it? Do people feel it? Part of, I'll share a little moment with you. So much of my journey towards Jesus, I know God draws us, but I saw so much of the heart of God in my dad, and I had the privilege in these last few days of having my dad, who is a man who is getting on in years. And he rang us last week, and he's not very mobile and he has a pretty hard time getting around. He rang us and he said, there's an urgency in my heart to just come and see you. And I was just thrilled that, you know, my dad would come, because the doctors told him last time, you can't fly anymore. He had a bleed somewhere in his head above his ear, and they told him it could be an aneurysm if he ever flew. But when he wanted to come, I said, well, are you going to catch a train? Or he goes, no, I'm going to fly. I said, what about what the doctor said? And he goes, I haven't told him that I'm going. I'm like, okay, that's my dad. And he came and he spent these days with us. We had an amazing time yesterday. In fact, let me just give you a window in the midst of this message of some of the things that are happening. You know, on Sunday nights, we're talking about, and I have to share this so you get a little bit of a understanding of why I'm going to share this story with you. Sunday nights here, we've just been teaching through the books of the New Testament. We're in the book of John, and last Sunday night we got to chapter 3. We've already been in the book of John months, and we're at chapter 3. Just got to talk about verses 1 through 7, and a man who comes to Jesus and wants to understand, you know, the kingdom of God. And He's a Pharisee, he's a teacher of the law, and Jesus begins to talk to him about being born again. And so we talked last Sunday night about being born again. And then we talked a little bit about, you know, baptism and righteousness and ritual, and then talked about baptism as an identification with Jesus Christ, not just a sort of prequel of washing in righteousness, but an identification with Christ. And all of a sudden, I just had this feeling of, you know what, we need to just offer, you know, we just need baptism now. If anyone wants to be baptized now, let's go rip the covers off the pool down here and let's do baptism. And, you know, one girl came and said, I want to be baptized. In fact, after the service, there were no hands in that time, but after the service, she comes and, you know, sort of umming and ahhing and said, you know, that baptism thing just sounds right, but I'm not going to be here next week. And I said, well, what about now? Let's just go now. She said, yeah, I need to. So last Sunday night at about 9:15, as people were finally packing up, we came down and we took the covers off the pool and we baptized this girl. But then in that moment, standing on the side of the pool was her mum, who was just visiting. And the mum just, as this girl got out of the water, the mum just stood there and said, would you baptize an old lady? It's not too late for me, is it? I was like, let's go. No one has changes of clothes, no one has towels, but there's this sense in hearts of now is the time. And so then all of a sudden we've got this girl and her mum standing in the water, and as they're about to climb out, a sister who was also visiting says, can we make this a hat trick? And we did. And there was an amazing thing that happened, and I love Tina, I love your heart, and I love that Tina can produce towels from I don't know where, but in this instant Tina's there and she's got towels. And you know, and then a few more people came and said, I want to be baptized, and tonight we're continuing the baptisms. But there were two others, and I was so moved, because both my kids came to me individually and said, I want to get baptized. And I've never pushed our kids to be baptized. To me, it's a journey of their faith. I can only lead them, and what their decision is theirs. They were going to be baptized tonight, but then when my dad showed up, and Donna's mum and dad are here and they're just visiting for a couple of weeks, my kids just went, let's just get baptized now. And so yesterday morning we went to Cotton Tree and stood on the riverbank by the ocean there and just had a very small group of folk, and we just, my dad's sitting there in his little walker thing, and Donna's mum and dad are standing there, and we baptize our kids. Now, an incredible thing happened, because as we stepped our feet literally into that water, a fella on a little wharf there starts shouting, what are you doing? And one of the guys that was with us went over and said, we're doing baptism. Well, what's that? Well, it's when someone becomes a Christian, they want to follow Jesus. This is just a statement of want to follow Jesus, and this guy, this is what starts. You've been brainwashed. You kids have probably been forced into this since you were little children. And he just starts this barrage. And I talked with my son about it afterwards, and he goes, man, it was just like this devil taking the last shot to try and dissuade that going ahead. And I said, how did it make you feel? And he goes, it made me feel like I wanted to just walk into the water even more. And it was an amazing moment to realize the kingdom of God is advancing, but there's going to be a battle. And I really was amazed at the way even the enemy would just show his hands of cards like that. It's like I felt like he was a very poor poker player revealing his whole hand in one instant. But the kingdom of God is going to advance, and it is near, and it's not just the future, it is the now, and we've got to talk it, and we've got to live in it and walk in it, and we've got to respond to it. And in Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, it says, the kingdom of heaven is near. Preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. But do something. Heal the sick. And raise the dead and cleanse those who have leprosy and drive out demons. And you've freely received and freely give. And where the kingdom of God is advancing, there is stuff that happens. The kingdom of God is not just about talk, but it is also about power. And it's about seeing lives transformed. And it's about seeing people respond. And Romans 10 says that the word is in our hearts and it is in our mouths. And when I read that, I see it as, you know, saying that it's what should motivate our speech, but it's what should motivate our action. All the time, the Word of God, it's in our mouth, it's in our heart. You know, there are times when I feel the kingdom of God at hand and I don't respond, or I become overwhelmed. I'm still trying to follow up on one. I'll be honest with you. I was down at a little shop here down in Maroochydore on Dewporth Avenue. And I walked in and the fella just says, I can't help you, I'm closing up shop. It's too hot in here and I've just got this wicked headache and I'm going home. And a couple of members of my family with me and they're looking at some stuff, and I said, wow, you know, oh, you guys, look, just take a minute if you want to, but you're going to have to come back tomorrow. I said, your headache, is it just the heat? And he goes, nah, man, I haven't had a headache for 7 years, and all of a sudden I got this headache back. And I said, 7 years, man, that's a long time without a headache. He says, well, he stopped. I thought, here's a moment to inquire. And I said to this fellow, you know, it looks to me that like it's a serious headache. It's like it's affecting your whole person. And he goes, yeah, it does. He goes, 7 years ago I was diagnosed with a cyst in the lining of my brain. And I took medication and took some time, but they dealt with it. And he goes, and I've been free of headaches since then. And I said, so this headache now, does it worry you? I mean, I'm probably prying a little bit. I said, does that like stir fear in you? And he looks at me and goes, yeah. And you know what? Inside I felt like, you need to pray for him. Like now. And you know what I said to him? I said, well, I hope when you go home and get some rest and maybe have a drink of water that you'll feel better. And I walked out of there and I didn't pray for him. And I came home and I couldn't stop thinking about him. And the funny thing is that I feel like these guys keep coming across my path. They're, they're body piercers and, I don't know why I take an interest in people, but I noticed this guy at the plaza one day with a big thing embedded under his skin in his hand, and so I'm talking to him about it. Well, he actually works in this place, and you know, I just feel like here these guys are, and I keep coming across them. And so why is this fear there? So I went back the next day, and I was hoping he'd be there, and this other young fella's there, and I said, is Carl here? And he goes, no, he's still off. And I said, well, is his headache any better? And he goes, no, I don't think so. I'm like, well, is he coming in, or does he have a phone number? And he won't tell me. And so I go in the next day. Is he back? Oh, he was here this morning, but he's gone home again. And there's this sense in my heart now that God's not going to let it go until I go and do something. But it always feels more awkward when you go back. And then you got to go, I should have responded to this before. But remember when, and so I'm going to keep trying to, but you know what? There are seasons that I fail. But what I was so aware of when I was at the riverbank yesterday and I came up out of the water from baptizing our kids, and I was so overwhelmed with the incredible love of God, and I looked at the shore and I looked at my dad and I looked at my wife's parents and I thought, what an incredible heritage we have in God. And I went to my dad, and my dad has been an amazing man. And if you know any of my story, I was a horribly rebellious young man that my dad wouldn't let go as much as God wouldn't let go. And it is only because of his pursuit of graciousness that I ever understood the heart of God. And I gave my dad a hug. And my dad just hugged me, and I just wept on his shoulder, and I just was overwhelmed again with that redemptive grace of God. And in that moment again, I thought, here I get to see my kids walk in it, but man, I want to see humanity walk in it. I want to see these two fellas that run this store down on Dewporth, I want them to see that benevolent, gracious, redemptive heart of God. And I wonder who the people are that God has placed in your lives that we are still backstepping or backpedaling away from living and speaking the kingdom of God to them. Who comes across our paths? It's not just this secret thing. God so loved that he demonstrated in the most humiliating and self-sacrificial manner his kingdom proclamation of redemption and eternal life. And I wonder. And I confess, as the one who's leading in this season here at Good Life, and I don't know for how long, I hope a long, long time, that I'm not always going to set the perfect example. But I hope there'll be times that we celebrate together and we acknowledge our failings together and we don't try to keep up some bravado about the things that we're about. But we get real about walking in the lives of people and we get real about the kingdom message. And we invite God into our failings to represent Him as much as we invite Him to come and witness our successes. And I pray that as the songs that were sung this morning, that strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, that in our weaknesses we will see His strength perfected. That the words to that last song that say, take my life, and let it be ever only all for Thee. Everything that we do. And as we go into next week and then a deliberate look at life mission, I really do pray that Romans chapter 1, and I'll finish with this, would be very real in our hearts. Because Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of that loving, deeply loving, vastly benevolent, active, redemptive, liberating work of God. I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to back away from. I'm not going to hide out from. I'm not going to be passive about. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power. It's the power of God for salvation to anyone who would believe. It was proclaimed first to the Jew, but then also for the Gentile, for the whosoever. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. Not a righteousness of our own. Not something that anyone could ever attain or earn or develop or grow into. It is only by a transforming work of God. A rebirth by His Spirit, a restart, a renewal. But it's a righteousness from God, and a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last. So as we close, I'm going to ask that we can just sing again the song that we finished with before, and maybe you can just listen to it, meditate on it, think of the words, and do a little self-assessment. Next week, we're going to talk about moments of mission and seasons of mission and a lifetime of mission. It's not about location. It's not about vocation. It is about the kingdom at work within us and lived out through us. And this is the heartbeat of, I believe, God's kingdom. So, Father, I pray, would you stir in us again the revelation God, it's such a simple verse, but so profound, that you're so loved, the depth of it, the scope of it, God, the benevolence of it, but yet the extravagance of it, the sacrificial nature of it. God, the unconditional parameters of it. But God, also the redemptive and liberating work of it, but then also the transforming nature of it and the continual outliving work of it and the empowerment of it within us as, Lord, we surrender to it. And Lord, I do thank you that it's not because of a righteousness of our own. It's nothing that we ever earned or were born into or were willed. God, it's a transforming work only of your Spirit. And so, Father, I pray, draw us again to your heart, but stir us afresh. As we go into this season, as many life goes back to normal, kids go back to school, holiday seasons are over. God, open our eyes to see and our hearts to do, to the glory of your name, to the joy of your eternal kingdom. Thanks.